Johnson. This is Grace. We welcome you here, but if you're not an Eagles fan, get out. Dallas fans and New York fans, and don't hate. Listen, you guys didn't make it. We did. So jump on the bandwagon. Fly, Eagles, fly. So I don't have too many notes because obviously I want to get home to watch the game. I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I'm kidding. Lawrence already has the timer up. Lawrence already has the timer up. It's okay. No, listen, I'm so glad that we're here this morning. In all seriousness, I'm glad that you were here to join us. We're in this amazing series that we started a couple weeks ago. It's called Live. And we're answering the question of how do we live in 2018? Because everybody starts off the new year examining their lives, examining themselves, and answering that very question is, how do I live this thing called life? And how do I get better? How do I excel? What things do I need to change? What things do I need to invest in? What things do I need to instill in my life? And basically the question we're all asking ourselves is, how are you living? How you living? Look at your neighbor again. Tell him how you living. That's what we're answering with this series. It's called Live, and that's the question we're answering: is how you living? How you living? What decisions are you making? What life are you deciding to live? What are the things you're living for? How you living? How you living is what we're answering. All right. So the first week, Pastor Dave introduced us. Just do a little recap. Everybody knows you pass a test the more you recap and study things and reiterate things, right? Everybody knows that the most important things on an exam or in life are things that happen over and over and are said over and over again, right? You guys ever been in school and been annoyed by the fact that your teacher sounds so redundant because she's saying the same things over and over and over again? Those are the things that you have to obviously write down and take in and soak in because you have to know them for the exam, right? So we're going to recap a little bit. The first week, Pastor Dave talked about three things, looking at the story of Hannah. And he talked about how Elkanah, actually, we're looking at the story of Hannah, but we were looking at the character of Elkanah, her husband, in it. And Pastor Dave pointed out a couple things that he did before Hannah received her blessing. We noticed that Elkanah first prioritized worship. And so we talked about how in our lives and this year, that's the one thing that we need to do. We need to prioritize the worship of God. We need to prioritize coming to church. We need to prioritize lifting up his name and living for him. The second thing he talked about was promoting the spiritual well-being of others. We need to care for others. We need to be there for others. We need to talk to others about Jesus and what God is doing in our lives and what God wants to do in their lives and be there for people in their time of need. And so from there, he talked about generosity and how Elkanah gave Hannah a double portion how he was so generous in what he gave her, and his generosity was motivated by the fact that he loved her. And so our generosity should be motivated by the fact that we love God and love people, so we should be generous towards the things of God and we should be generous towards the people of God. Can I get an amen? And so last week we talked about living past your yesterdays, and we talked about living in forgiveness, letting go of bitterness, letting go of offense, not holding people accountable for their actions, but accepting the fact that God has forgiven us. And so because he's forgiven us, we've got to forgive others, and we've got to walk in this idea, live out this idea, this commitment of forgiveness. And we also talked about living as a new creation, because obviously the reason why we forgive and the fact that we've been forgiven obviously means that Christ has made us new. He's made us new people. And so we walk away from our old habits. We walk away from the past things because the old has passed and behold, the new has come. Can I get another amen? And so we ended by saying that we have to walk in this life, and the way we get past our yesterdays is by being committed to what God is doing in our lives today and walking in a life of commitment. Because what God wants is our heart. And if he has our heart, he has our commitment. And all of these things we get from one text. It's the entire basis for what I'm talking about, not just last week, this week, but next week as well, is this verse in Philippians chapter 3, verse 12 and 14, or verse 12 to 14, excuse me. All right, Lawrence, walk my water up here, bro. Oh, this one's good? This one, okay, I'll take this one. Thank you. See that? Sacrificial living, generosity right there. All right, let's do this. Philippians chapter 3, verse 12 to 14, it says this. I don't mean to say that I have already achieved these things or that I have already reached perfection, but I press on to possess that perfection for which Christ Jesus first possessed me. No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past, living past my yesterdays, and looking forward to what lies ahead, living for my tomorrow. So I'm forgetting about my past. I'm leaving my past behind me. I'm living today, right now, in this moment. I'm deciding to live past my yesterdays. Forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I'm living for my tomorrows, living for my future. I press on today, living for today, right now. I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. Amen. We obviously see the roadmap that Paul is talking about and how he guide his life, and the whole question is how you're living. And Paul basically is explaining to the Philippians how he chooses to live his life. And we talked last week about how the whole premise and the whole background of why he's saying this is because he's talking to Philippians and he's saying no one should have a reason to boast. And he tells them, if anybody has a reason to boast, it's me, right? I was born a Hebrew of Hebrews. That means I am pure Jewish. It's like I was born a Puerto Rican. My parents are Puerto Ricans. Both my parents are Puerto Rican. I was born on the island, so therefore that makes me Puerto Rican. All right? The purest of pure Puerto Ricans. No, I'm kidding. But he's saying, I'm a pure Hebrew. I'm the Hebrews of Hebrews. And in the legal aspect, there's nobody that has been as holy and as righteous as I have been. I keep the law. I have kept the law. There's no legal action that you could take against me. In other words, he's saying, I know God's law and I've lived it out and you don't have anything against me. So therefore, if anybody has anything to boast, it's me. And then he tells him, in zeal, I've surpassed everyone because I was so zealous for God that I was killing people who professed to be worshiping or following God because I thought that they were not doing so. That's how zealous he was for God. But he didn't realize that he wasn't doing it. He was actually fighting against God and not for God. But in zeal, he says, I've surpassed all of you. But he says to them, listen, I don't say that I have achieved it all. I have not attained anything. I haven't achieved it. I haven't already reached perfection, but he says, but I press on. I press on. How do I live my life? I live for today by pressing on to what's ahead of me. I press on. I fight. When things get difficult, I keep stepping forward. When things get hard, I don't give up. When I'm knocked down, I get back up and I keep walking forward. I keep fighting. I keep running, I keep pushing, I keep pressing on to what? To attain or receive the perfection for which Christ first possessed me. So through those two verses, he's telling you one thing, how he lives. I press on, I fight, I pursue, I reach ahead. That's how I live. You know what the problem is with so many people today? And why they don't know how to live is because they don't know what they're living for. See, and Paul's so good at explaining what he, how he lives this thing called life, because he doesn't just give you the how, he gives you the what for. He tells you what your motivation is. See, the problem with not knowing how to live our lives is because we don't know what the motivation for living it is. What's your motivation? What drives you? What wakes you up in the morning saying, I'm going to step in my today, I'm going to live for this, I'm going to live for that? What is it that motivates you? What inspires you? What gets your blood boiling? What wakes you up in the morning excited? What motivates you? Because you won't know how to live if you don't know what to live for. What to live for. I was watching this show with Natalie. She's all about these reality shows. What's crazy is I actually hate them so much. I hate them so much. But I end up sitting next to her, and then I get so engulfed in what's going on. It's just like, how does this happen to me? What is going on here? You know, like, she gets the remote, and obviously I can't stand it because I want to watch things like ESPN and Fox Sports 1 and everything, and she's sitting here watching these shows. And on this show, there was this guy. The show was about a guy. I won't say the show because I don't want you to watch it, but there was a show, and it's about this guy who's got a bunch of kids, and one of his kids ended up being, he was a drug addict, and he ended up being sent to drug rehab and all this stuff. And one of the things that impacted me was he was a drug addict, right? But what ended up happening was he ended up getting a girl pregnant and having a child. And because of that child, he ended up going to rehab and changing his life. There was a guy who's trying to figure out how to live and couldn't figure out how to live until he found out what he was living for. Because let me tell you something, when kids get into the picture, the whole world changes. I no longer live for myself. And so this kid, it impacted me because that's us in life. How we live is determined by what we live for. And what's sad is that so many people live their lives lost, confused, lazy, not knowing or caring about how they live because they don't know what they live for, or rather, as a Christian, who we live for. See, if you live for yourself, all you get is self. Who you live for is so important. Because who you live for defines what you live for. That's what Paul is saying. He's saying, I press on. That's how I live. I press on. I keep moving forward. I keep trying to possess the perfection that Christ Jesus has possessed me for. So there's your how. Your what is I'm trying to possess this perfection. And later on he says, I'm trying to attain, to achieve the goal for which this, the call of God that is in Christ Jesus. So he's telling you what he lives for, but it's because of who he lives for. It's Jesus. Let me tell you something. It doesn't matter who you are or what you believe. You were put on this earth for one thing and one thing alone. For the glory of God. You weren't put on this earth to be a basketball player. You weren't put on this earth to be a doctor. You weren't put on this earth to be a banker. You weren't put on this earth to, I wasn't even put on this earth to be a pastor. That's secondary to the fact that I was put on this earth to bring glory to God. Amen. And what I do is how I do it. Here's what the Bible says. In Colossians, in the first chapter, verse 15 to 16, it says this: Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. He existed before anything was created and is supreme over all creation. For through him, God created everything in the heavenly realms and on the earth. He made the things we can see and the things we can't see, such as thrones, kingdoms, rulers, and authorities in the unseen world. Everything was created through him and for him. That includes you. In Isaiah, he tells his people this. He says, "Bring all who claim me as their God, for I have made them for my glory. It was I who created them. You were created by God for God. Therefore, you know who you live for and you know why you live for it." You can't know your how. Don't worry, I'm not going to condemn you all to hell. This just doesn't, I don't do that. And I promised my wife that I would be good today. And I wouldn't say anything controversial. I'm not going to say it. But here's what James said. Here's what James says, because he puts it better than I do. He says this. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Proverbs 27:1 says this. Do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring forth. Ecclesiastes says this. In chapter 3, verse 19 to 20, it says, for what happens to the sons of men, you guys are early, but it's okay, you can come up. You're already coming up. For what happens to the sons of men also happens to animals. One thing befalls them. As one dies, so dies the other. Surely they all have one breath. Man has no advantage over animals, for all is vanity. All go to one place. All are from the dust, and all return to dust. What's that say? There's an end to this race. There's an end to this thing called life. At some point, we all expire. So we can't wait for tomorrow what we can do today. We can't decide, okay, God, I'm going to do what I can, and I'm going to live up the life, and I'm going to, I'm just going to put you on the back burner, and sometime, give me about 2 to 3 years, and I'll give my life to you. It doesn't happen that way. Because as James said, your life is but a vapor. Your life expires. And you don't know when it's going to happen. So here's what we got to do. We got to live for today. See, when I realize how I'm supposed to live, because I know what I'm supposed to live for, and I know who I live for, and the who determines why I live for it, then I know when I'm supposed to do it, and I'm motivated to do it today. See, when I understand all these things, I worship differently. When I understand all these things, I'm a better husband. The way I husband, the way I live as a husband is different. The way I live as a father is different. The way I come here to worship Jesus is different. The louder I sing, the more committed I am. The better I preach. It's all inspired by the fact that I have one life to live. And the time to give it all is now. The time to love people is now. The time to serve people is now. The time to get connected is now. The time to worship and to serve and to love and to be generous is now. Amen. See, so many of us won't even give to God what we could give to Him now and want Him to give us more. Like, we won't give to God what we have now and expect Him to bless us. Well, Lord, I'll give you my $10 when you give me my $100. You can't even give Him what you have now. Why would He give you more? You want God to serve you now, but you won't even serve Him. You want God to answer your prayers, but you won't even pray. Today is the day. Now is the time, because life will end. But not just that, life is short. You're here but for a moment. And you don't know when that moment is. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm trying to motivate you. Everyone else in this world and this culture embraces the idea of you only live once. Carpe diem. Seize the day. For some reason, those of us who profess ourselves to be Christian, for some reason, refuse to accept that idea that is so biblical. You only live on this earth once, and the moment that you're on this earth is very short. So why not today? It's funny. We sing that song, but most of our lives, instead of saying it to the devil, we're saying it to the God who created us. Instead of saying, devil, no, not today, we'll sing it here in church, but we go home, and what we're saying instead, with every action that we take, with every decision that we make, the way we treat people, the way we invest our time and our money and our energy, says the total opposite. What it's saying is, no, God, not today. I believe this wholeheartedly, that if every single one of us lived for this moment as if this was our last moment, these seats would be filled. Because I would be telling everyone who I live for and why I live for him and what he's called me to live. That idea changes everything. See, I no longer become a real estate agent to make money. I'm a real estate agent because God has called me to bring him glory. I want to help people. People don't know how to buy a house, what it takes to buy a house. People don't know what their contracts look like. It shifts my entire idea of what I do because I know who I do it for and why I do it. I'm a better husband because I know who I do it for, and I don't do it for my wife. I do it to bring God glory. I'm a better father because I know who I do it for. I don't do it for my kids. I do it for my God because that's what he's called me to do. Everything in life, every decision we make, every move we make, every step we take, everything we allow into our lives, everything we dismiss from our lives is based on what we live for and who we live for and why we live for it, and because we only have this moment to live it. I promise you, if you answer all those questions, your life will change. All of a sudden, people who encounter you, it's just different. Because you know how to live, because you know what you're living for. All of a sudden, you start seeing people the way God sees them. And you start loving them the way God loves them. Because you only got one chance, one moment on this earth to be a reflection of who he is in their lives. Start loving people and forgiving people and serving people and being generous to people, and you start serving your church because you realize that it's the reason Christ came to die. Christ came to die for his bride. His bride is the church. Therefore, serving it week in and week out, getting here 8 o'clock in the morning, 9:30 in the morning, setting up lights, setting up signs, bringing food, giving food to people, serving them drinks, having conversations, connecting with people. It's all because this is what Christ died for. He died for his bride. He died for you and I. That's why Paul could say that, because he realized that, listen, this is the same person who said to live is Christ and to die is gain. It's the same person who, when he was going to Jerusalem, a man came and prophesied to him, wrapped Paul's belt around his wrist and said, in the same way you see this belt wrapped around my wrist is the same way you'll be carried out into Jerusalem. And you know what Paul's response was? When everybody's begging him to not do so, when everybody's in tears and he's crying, and he says, what are the tears for? I'm put on this earth to serve him. I'm put on this earth. See, Paul knew that the reason why he was put on this earth was to go to the Gentiles, which are you and I. The entire reason why you and I can serve Christ today is because a man named Paul and all of his disciples, those who joined him in the mission, came to people like you and I who were not Israelites, who were not Hebrews. He decided that at all costs, whatever it takes, that he was going to live for the moment and do what God called him to do, which was to go and preach the good news. And let me tell you something. We're not all called to be pastors. We're not all called to be evangelists. We're not all called to be prophets or missionaries, whatever you want to call yourselves, or whatever titles you think you are here to obtain. It does not matter. What really does matter is that we're all called to bring people to Christ. We're all called on this mission to make disciples. We're all called to mature disciples. We're all called to multiply disciples. That's not just our church mission. That is who we are. Every one of us is called to that. But the way we do it and how we do it will be determined by what and who and why, and being motivated by the when. I don't know about you, but I want to live this life today. I want to live this life for today like it's my last day. I want to preach every single time I get up here like it's the last message you guys ever hear. I want to love people like it's the last time I'll ever get to love them. Because this time here on earth fades away. And one day I'm going to have to stand before my God. And how I live my life here on earth will be a demonstration to him that he was my who. And that I embraced what he called me for with all of my heart. And I was motivated to live it today and in this moment. That's all that matters. Everything else comes secondary. Everything else is unimportant, because he is my who. I challenge you this morning that if you don't know how to live your life, it's most likely because you don't know who and what you're living it for. And if you don't like the outcome of your life, it's because you're not living it now. Here's the thing. Last week we talked about living past our yesterdays. And the reason why we do that is because yesterday doesn't matter. Your yesterday can influence your today. The way you live today can be influenced by your yesterday. But the way your tomorrow ends up is determined by your today. Where you end up in life is determined by what you choose to do today. Not what you come from, not what you've been through, not what you've been exposed to, not by the way you've been treated, but the way you embrace the life today, the decisions that you make, the moves that you take, the steps that you take, the words that you say today. I want my life today to say those, to be that song. I want my life to be that song. The praise is yours. The praise is yours. You are worthy because you were the lamb that was sacrificed. Would you stand to your feet as we sing that song?